message of Christianity is life out of death. That's what we're here for.
In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about strength out of weakness. The message of Christianity is life out of death. That's what we're here for, to learn to know that out of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can be given eternal life. And we, in our turn, are to lay down our lives for others. Most of you know John 3:16. It says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, in order that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then there's a corollary to that verse, which is 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we in our turn ought to lay down our lives for others. Life comes out of death. That is the principle. And strength comes out of weakness. Christianity is full of paradoxes. I really don't know whether there's any other religion in the world that has so many paradoxes at the very heart, but Christianity is certainly one of them. And for the last couple of days, I've been talking about abortion and those tiny, speechless, helpless human beings who cannot defend or speak up for themselves. And now I want to tell you the story of a girl who might have been aborted if her mother had listened to the kinds of things that are being said today. I had a letter from a friend telling me that a friend of hers had just given birth to a baby with no arms and no legs. As I thought about that baby, I thought about my friend Judy Squire from Portola Valley, California. She was born, well, I won't tell you about her defect right away. I'm just going to tell you that I wrote to Judy and said, "Would you write a letter to the mother of this little boy who was born with no arms or legs?" Judy wrote that letter, and I got a copy of it. This is what she said. "The first thing I would say is that all that this entails is at least 100 times harder on the parents than the child. A birth defect, by God's grace, does not rob childhood of its wonder, nor is a child burdened by high expectations. Given a supportive, creative, and loving family, I know personally that I enjoyed not a less than average life, nor an average life. But as I've told many, my life has been not ordinary, but extraordinary. I'm convinced without a doubt that a loving Heavenly Father oversees the creative miracles in the inner sanctum of each mother's womb." And she cites Psalm 139, which tells how God saw us even before we were formed in the womb, and that in his sovereignty there are no accidents. These are Judy's words. In his sovereignty, there are no accidents. What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the Creator calls a butterfly. As humanity, we see only the imperfect underside of God's tapestry of our lives. What we judge to be tragic, the most dreaded thing that could happen, I expect we'll one day see as the awesome reason for the beauty and uniqueness of our life and our family. I think that's why James 1:2 is a favorite verse of mine. Phillips' translation puts it this way: "When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brethren, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends." This is all from Judy Squire's letter. She says, "I love Johnny Erickson Tada's quote. When I saw it on the front of Moody Monthly, October 1982, I was convinced she'd penned the words for my epitaph. Now my husband is aghast to hear me say I want it on my tombstone. Glory be." People with disabilities are God's best visual aids to demonstrate who he really is. His power shows up best in weakness. and who by the world's standards is weaker than the mentally or physically disabled. As the world watches, these people persevere. They live, love, trust, and obey him. Eventually, the world is forced to say how great their God must be to inspire this kind of loyalty. That's the end of Johnny's quote. It was at a conference in California that I first met Judy Squire. We were sitting in a circle having a prayer meeting, and I noticed that she was sitting in a wheelchair. That was obvious. But I began to look at her legs, and I thought there's something funny about her legs. They didn't just look paralyzed. But later that day, I saw Judy in the same wheelchair, and she had no legs at all. Then later in the evening, here came Judy, walking along with a pair of crutches. Well, you can be sure I had a few questions that I wanted to ask Judy. And Judy told me that she had been born with no legs at all. She had prostheses, but she said, you know, they're heavy and they're kind of uncomfortable, and so sometimes I just leave them behind. And therefore, I had seen her sitting in the wheelchair with no legs, but then later she got out of the wheelchair, had her legs on, and was walking with crutches. Well, Judy is one of the most cheerful, outgoing people that I've ever met. And so she's writing a letter to the parents of a little boy who was born with no arms or legs. Her letter goes on. The above are my hurried soul thoughts. I can't think too deeply with three little women popping in and out of this letter writing. But I give you a moment of down-to-earth real life, which I am good at since I'm a very earthy person. Being Christian didn't shield my family from the pain and tears that came with my birth defect. In fact, 10 years ago, when David and I interviewed our parents for a keepsake tape, I was stunned to hear my mother's true feelings. I asked her to tell the hardest thing in her life. Her response, the day Judy Ann was born, and it still is. And yet, when we as a family look back over the years, our reflections are invariably silenced by the wonder of God's handiwork. Someday I hope to put it in a book, and I know it will be to the glory of God. Reflecting back over my life, getting married and becoming a mother were dreams that I never dared to dream. But God, the doer of all miracles, intended that my life be blessed with an incredible husband and three daughters. Emily is 9, Betsy will soon be 7, and Natalie Joy is 4. I've decided every handicapped person needs at least one child. They are fantastic helpers and so willing to let me borrow their legs when I need help. Well, my friends, I will close for now. Would love to be added to your mailing list. Friends and family do care so much, and you as a family have been chosen in a special way to display his unique handiwork. I pray that your roots of faith will go and grow deep down into the faithfulness of God's loving plan, that you will exchange your inadequacy for the adequacy of Jesus' resurrection power, and that you will be awed as you witness the fruits of the Spirit manifested in the Scott family. And she signs it Judy Ann Squire. Well, as I've gotten to know Judy and a few others who have similar handicaps and similar testimonies, I think over and over again of Paul's wonderful words in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. This doctrine of the cross, he says, is sheer folly to those on their way to ruin. But to us who are on the way to salvation, it is the power of God. Undoubtedly, there are some listening to me today who are thinking, I have never heard such a load of rubbish in my life. You're going to try to tell me that being born with no legs can turn into the glory of God? Are you going to tell me that these people whose little boy was just born with no limbs at all are going to find joy and strength in this? Yes, that's what I'm going to tell you. But I think Judy Ann Squire's words carry far greater weight than mine, since I've never been handicapped in any way physically. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 1 to say, God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. But divine folly is wiser than the wisdom of man, and divine weakness stronger than man's strength. My brothers, think what sort of a people you are whom God has called. Few of you are men of wisdom by any human standard. Few are powerful or highly born. Yet to shame the wise, God has chosen what the world counts folly. And to shame what is strong, God has chosen what the world counts weakness. He has chosen things low and contemptible, mere nothings, to overthrow the existing order. And so there is no place for human pride in the presence of God. Then Paul actually talks about himself as being weak. He says, I resolved that while I was with you, I would think of nothing but Jesus Christ, Christ nailed to the cross. I came before you weak, nervous, and shaking with fear. Don't forget, this is the Apostle Paul talking. Most of us would think of him as a pretty powerful man. Weak, nervous, shaking with fear. The word I spoke, the gospel I proclaimed, did not sway you with subtle arguments. It carried conviction by spiritual power, so that your faith might be built not upon human wisdom, but upon the power of God. And I would remind you today that I have nothing to say on my own authority, not a word that would make any sense, but I am talking to you straight from the Word of God. These are His promises, and I've given you the testimony of one woman who has proved in her life that God means exactly what He says. And she quotes the testimony of another one, Johnny Erickson Tada, whose name many of you know, also a woman completely handicapped as a quadriplegic. This is what God does with our weakness. Strength out of weakness.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.